So welcome to another of the Booktown Blether podcasts. It's brought to you by myself, Jane Baldwin of Foggy Toddle Books. And we'll also have Lou from New Chapter Books, which is where we are just now recording. And also Ruth from Well Read Books will be here as well. So it's full house. But to begin with, we have a special guest who is here to talk about the upcoming spring weekend. So I'd like to introduce from the bookshop, Mr. Sean Bethel.
Thank you very much. And I think that's possibly the only time I've been described as special, but that's very kind of you.
So, yes, what can you tell us about spring weekend?
Not very much. Because okay. I've forgotten to bring a program. But it's organized by the Association of Weekend Booksellers and it's done slightly on seat of the pants, wing and a prayer, to mix metaphors and things. But every year it seems to grow. We get more, the audience gets bigger and bigger. And it seems to, even though we really don't have much of a budget, we seem to be able to put on a fairly decent weekend. So it is from the 3rd of May, going over the whole weekend. So there are music events, there are arts events, literature events. There's a kind of antiques thing where Glenn will, there's a valuation thing. So there are a lot, and there are guided walks, which is going to be the absolute highlight. It's Ben Please from the Bookshop Band, and I will be doing guided walks around Wigtown.
Very good. What, highlighting the Galloway Bar or some other places as
well? Some other places, mainly probably we'll be focusing on Foggy Toddle.
Oh, excellent.
Which is, well, that's one of the cultural highlights of
Wigtown.
So yeah, I mean, there's a bit of history, there's a bit of sort of topography, geography. So yeah, there's a fair bit about the Wigtown Martyrs,
who are the
two women with whom Wigtown is inextricably identified.
Yes. So, oh, well, that's good. I didn't know you included that.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, but to be honest, there's not much help. but no, the Martyrs take a feature quite highly because there are so many. There's the martyr's stake, the cell, the graves.
Oh, of course, yes.
So, you know, if you're doing a walk around Wigtown, then it's almost impossible to do it without including the martyrs.
Yes. And in the programme, just I thought I'd mention, Chris Nicol is actually doing a talk about Wigtown Women's Walk, seeing as we're talking about walking, which was a project from about 10 years ago.
2010.
Wow.
I only say that because I've just found it in the programme. Yes.
No, I was involved in it. It's amazing it's that long ago.
Well, it's not that much. You know, it's only 14 years.
So. Yeah, no, but anyway, so yeah, so I don't, as far as I know, I don't think she's taking a walk, but she's giving a little history about how Wigtown Women's Walk came about and some of the people who are featured in the leaflet, which you can get from Reading Glasses.
So who, out of interest, who is in it?
Oh, that's put me on the spot, hasn't it?
Welcome to sitting in this seat.
Oh, there's some very interesting women associated with the martyrs, obviously.
Okay.
But I can't remember the names off the top of my head.
I can give you one.
Go on.
Doyle Card Opera Company.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And there's the woman who first diagnosed myasthenia gravis, and she lived in Crofton Rye, but I can't remember her name.
Well, Deva Gilliher apparently lived in Crofton Rye as well.
All right.
Or there was a building there before.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Deva Gilliher's husband, John Balliol, founded Balliol College, Oxford.
That's right.
Which is the oldest Oxford college, I think. And he did it because he fell out with the Bishop of Durham. Do you know this story?
No.
He and the Bishop of Durham. So Balliol, this is all in the 13th century. John Balliol was a kind of wealthy local landowner, married to this woman called Devagillan. And John Balliol fell out with the Bishop of Durham and sent his heavies round to beat the Bishop of Durham's heavies up. And whoever was king at the time, it would have been an Edward or a John, wasn't too happy with this.
No.
So said to Balliol, right, you have to found a school
in Oxford. It was penance.
It was penance, and it was for poor children.
Oh, very good.
And that is now Balliol College, Oxford, which is one of the most prestigious colleges in Oxford. So there is a Wigton connection with everything.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, and then Devagilla, when John Balliol died, she couldn't bear the grief of the loss. So she doesn't sound very romantic, really, when you put it in these terms. But she arranged for his heart to be cut out.
Yes.
And she wore his heart around her neck in a silver casket until she died.
And it's buried. Buried in Sweetheart.
Well,
she founded
Sweetheart Abbey. And it's odd, you don't imagine the word sweetheart is a kind of 13th century word.
No, but obviously is.
Yeah.
Yes. And we can link to another event at Spring, because is not the author of Devagilla Days doing an event with...
Nice segue. Oh,
yeah. Use of journalism. yes, you're doing an event with...
Kathleen Hart
and Jessica?
And Jessica Fox. So Kathleen wrote a book called Devagilla Days because she'd been through a fairly rough time health-wise and decided to move to Wigtown and bought a cottage called Devagilla Cottage. And that's where she sort of recuperated from various illnesses. So she and Jessica and I have all three of us written about the place we live in. So we're doing a talk about what it's like to write about the place you live in.
Right.
And the pitfalls and the...
Yes. Various
other elements of writing about where you live. So, hopefully it'll be an interesting event.
Yes. So there's a good mix again by the sound of it.
Yeah, I think it's...
Because it only came back last year, didn't it, after the pandemic?
Yeah, and we had those 2 years where really nothing happened.
No.
Last year, actually, it was good. I think there was almost like a bounce back effect after the pandemic and lockdowns, where people are just so relieved to have an opportunity to go back out and, you know, for life to be back to the way it was before. I think last year we did fairly well. It was a busy festival.
And of course it's different. I think we maybe need to mention that it is different from Spring Fling. Because even actually just as I was waiting to walk across with you, somebody said Spring Weekend or Spring Fling, or is it the same thing? So that there is a bit of confusion that they're two different things.
They are two different things. Spring Fling is very much an arts event. Mm. But yes, Spring Fling is an arts event, and I think it's later, is it
June? Yes, I think so. And it's right across the region, isn't it?
It is, and people do confuse the two, but we're very much Wigtown based.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you can't go and explore the rest of the area, but the focus, all the events are in Wigtown.
Yes. And it's very different again from the main festival, because it very much it focuses, it highlights people stories from here, as opposed to, you know, big names coming in for the main festival. The Spring Weekend is very much about Wigtown and the people who live here, the people who've written about here. So it's different in that way too, isn't it?
It definitely is. It's apart from anything else, it's just organized by people like you and me. Uh-huh. So which means that it's going to be possibly, I was going to say, a bit crap, but it's not a bit. It's possibly.
I think
it's really
good. It's got a different atmosphere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a different beast, isn't it, really?
Yeah. But, I mean, it doesn't have people who you'll see on the television.
No.
But that doesn't mean it's any less interesting.
No.
I think in a way that could make it more interesting because it's.
Well, a lot of the events actually happen in the bookshops themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
Which is a big difference to the main festival, which is focused on counter buildings and marquees and things.
Yeah.
So there's a very different kind of atmosphere.
It has, I suppose, an element of almost hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe the big festival doesn't have. That has a kind of element of slick professionalism, whereas we have an element of bungling amateurism.
Yes, yes.
which, take your pick, really.
Yes. And I think, I think you get tickets. I think most events you can probably get into, can't you, without... I don't think there's a central ordering or anything like that.
I think tickets. If you just turn up, you'll be able to... Somebody will find a seat somewhere.
Yeah.
So, although it would help if people ordered tickets in advance, but it doesn't matter.
No. And there are leaflets in most of the bookshops to pick up. I don't think there's anything online.
So not.
I don't know. There may be. So that's a surprise. If you find it online,
how to book?
do let us know. But there are definitely leaflets around. Certainly in Wigtown, probably further afield. But I don't know who is in charge of distributing them. But there is a program.
There is a program. if you feel like coming to anything, just turn up and it's unlikely you'll be turned away.
Yes. Great. Well, thank you very much for coming along and telling us about it.
Not at all.
We will hopefully feature you in the future.
Hopefully feed me.
Yes.
That would be nice. Somebody did that.
We plan to have you in for a podcast all of your own.
Oh, crikey. Yes. That's a bit intimidating.
I know. Where Ruth will grill you.
Ruth will be ruthless.
Yes.
as she always is.
Uh-huh. Great.
But I'm looking forward to Spring Festival and hope it goes well.
So do I.
Right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Thank you.
So, Sean has headed off for a nice evening, I presume, back at his bookshop. And I'd now like to welcome Ruth. Ruth is with us. I have a feeling we recorded one and then we had a bit of a problem with
it. We did,
so
yes,
this is why we're re-recording it.
Not quite hot off the plane.
No, that's right.
Which was the idea.
When we tried to do it before, we had some technical issues. So yes, I'm just trying to remember that. So yes, you'd not long come back.
Not long come back, and I had spoken in the podcast before I went, making all these rash promises about the books that I was going to read. And of course, probably didn't read any of the books that I said I was going to read. But I think the last time, before we had the technical issues, I think you'd been asking me about what books I had read.
Yes.
When I was there.
Yes.
So would you like me to?
Yes, please do.
Listeners out there, the books I read. Well.
Yes.
I read one called Gemini Falls by an Australian. He lives in Western Australia, called Sean Wilson. It was published in 2022 and it's in paperback. The setting is a small rural town in Victoria in the 1930s, and it's both a murder mystery and a coming-of-age book.
Right.
I read it at my family's house, my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandson, in Bonnet Bay, which is just south of kind of central area in Sydney, in what they call the Shire.
All right.
The Sutherland Shire, and they call it the Shire. So they're not in the bush, but they're not in a big conurbation either.
I see.
And the balcony, from there one can view the kookaburras.
Oh,
the
very nice.
The cockatoos, the parrots, the minor birds. And for me, the most spectacular thing was every night just after the sunset, the fruit bats appeared. Thousands of them. We tried to work out where they were coming from and where they were going to spend. They obviously stay somewhere during the day, hang, as we would say, hanging from the trees, and then they fly to where they must spend the nights.
Right.
They took probably about 15 minutes to pass. There were so many of them. Absolute stunning sight. And it was the same time every night.
Yeah.
After the sunset, over they came. So that was
lovely. What kind of size is a fruit bat then?
Yeah, they're quite large.
Right. I was going to say, because obviously there's pipistrels at the harbour where I live. No, but I mean, they're pretty, just doing
things. These are pretty substantial.
Oh, right. Goodness.
And they get a bad press, like, I think just because of the shit, basically.
Oh.
But they're important, like, they've got the place like everybody else.
Yes.
A stunning sight. Anyway, it was on that balcony that I sat and read Gemini Falls in 1 day.
Oh, my goodness.
So, dodging from the sun, keeping out of the sun.
Yes.
But that's something that I don't often get the chance to do. And it was really good.
Yeah.
Not in Australia, but just after I came back, I lifted a second-hand copy of the book about Robert Maxwell called Fall by John Preston,
right,
who also wrote A Very English Scandal about Jeremy Thorpe.
Oh, yeah.
And I must say, I thought Fall was really good. It read like a thriller. And although I knew a bit about Maxwell, I didn't realise. I mean, what a crook, what a monster, but also what a very brave man and a very clever man. And a man, obviously, who took risks sort of all of his life, but very interesting. So those were my two books in 2 days. What else did I read? I read Stoneyard Devotional, which is the newly published book by Charlotte Wood. I got that in the library, the State Library bookshop in Sydney, and I'll talk a bit about that if we've got time.
Yes, please.
In Australia, a lot of the good fiction goes straight to paperback.
Yes, yeah.
Obviously, you have to wait here, so it's not out in paperback here yet. She wrote The Weekend, and this is a book in which not a lot happens, really.
All right.
But there's a climate catastrophe looming. It's about a woman who leaves her marriage and her life and goes to a small religious community, which I suppose we would call a convent. I think they call it a monastery.
Right.
But it's women.
Right.
And she has no faith.
All right.
But she describes the singing and the other nuns and the routines. And there's a plague of mice.
Oh.
And that's quite,
you
can feel yourself going quite,
just,
I don't mind them individually, but I don't know if I fancy hundreds of them skittering about the place. Anyway, not much of a plot, but just beautiful writing.
All right.
And I read it on the long haul from Sydney to Dubai, and that's a kind of surreal experience anyway when you think about it, being in this plane and walking about and eating and you're way up, you know, 40,000 feet in the air. So it was a good book to read in these circumstances. And although I'm not a great thinker, and I didn't think any profound thoughts, because I was reading this book about the sort of religious life and the singing and the sort of cloistered atmosphere, and here I was in this sort of encapsulated area, really. I was moved to have profound thoughts, but I didn't actually have any. But
all right.
It was one of these books that...
Yes, that would lead you to...
You thought that you were having profound thoughts.
Yes. Anyway,
so beautiful writing, and I would thoroughly recommend it. As I say, it's still in hardback here, but it won't be that long until it's out of paper.
No, no.
And I think it was also the kind of writing I felt that made you slow down your reading.
Oh, yes.
You know, you
get
some books that are page-turners and you whip through them.
Yeah.
But this slowed me down, so definitely recommend it.
Very good.
One that is quite different, and it was more of a page-turner, was one called Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone.
Right. It's quite a title.
It's slightly nuts in a way, very funny, and it's... not always very sort of tethered to reality in a way, but it was, and it also wasn't too tricky really to identify. It's a murder mystery, really. Not too tricky to identify the body, but it's written by somebody called Benjamin Stevenson, who is a stand-up comedian.
All right.
And some of it really was that old cliche, the laughing
out
loud. I did find myself laughing out loud a few times. And it also plays with the sort of the rules, you know, the Knox rules about the golden age of crime writing.
Yes,
so you
get
you know, you could pick up, you think, oh, that's so and so, or oh, that reminded me of such and such. So,
and was it an Australian writer?
And it was set in Australia.
All right.
My only criticism really is one about myself. I read it in bite-sized chunks, and it really merited longer reading sessions, because I would forget sometimes who some of the characters were. So that wasn't very good. But I must say, I did enjoy it. That probably detracted a bit from my enjoyment, because I couldn't always remember what the relationship was, because they're all family members.
But
I thought it really was good. And I think if you took your time with it, then you would savour more the action, because it takes place in the present, but it also goes to the past as well. So he's written another one, amongst others, called Everyone on This Train Is a Suspect.
Right.
I wonder if that might be a bit like Murder in the Orient Express.
Yes.
That kind of thing. So again, it's the old sort of limited to the number of people that it could have been in the particular circumstances. So yeah, those were the three that, I mean, I read other ones, but those were the three that I wanted to mention today.
Uh-huh.
I also wanted to say something about the bookish things that I did.
Yes, please do.
As ever, I went to the State Library, New South Wales State Library in Macquarie Street in Sydney, one of my favourite buildings in the world.
Uh-huh.
It's got a great cafe.
Always good.
It's got a really good bookshop which concentrates on Australian fiction and non-fiction.
Yes.
And it also always has several free exhibitions. And one of them this time was Shakespeare.
Oh,
and there was a
good
first folio.
Wow.
In a glass, locked glass.
Yes.
Case, obviously. And some other very interesting first editions.
Oh.
So that was really good. There was also an exhibition about war on film, which was also good for people who don't know Australia. Still very much a big emphasis on the contributions that they made to various wars. Anzac Day is a big celebration. I think we forget that they sent troops to Vietnam, where we didn't. So the various wars that they've been involved in, and that's obviously very much part of the old tradition. They've still got the... like what we would call the British Legion clubs. They've got RSL clubs, and they're still very much to the fore. Whereas nowadays, British Legion...
no, you don't hear of it so much, do you?
I suppose because we haven't really been involved in a war for so long. Whereas Vietnam wasn't all that long ago, really. So that was a good exhibition. And there was another one about portraits that was from the collection. That was interesting because they had biographical information about the subjects of the portraits, which were short, but really interesting and made me want to find out, oh, a bit more about this person,
right,
or
yes,
a bit more about why they were painted in that particular way.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very good. That was my kind of bookish thing there. I also visited Dymocks, which is one of the big, like Waterstones,
all
I
right,
suppose.
Yes.
One of the big bookshops in George. This one was in George Street in Sydney. I also went to a little one. In fact, I brought the tote bag with
uh-huh.
me. I'm afraid those who are listening
yes.
can't see it. But it was called oh. the best little bookshop in town and is in Cronulla.
All right.
Which is just south of Sydney, but again, part of Greater Sydney, really.
Yes. It's a nice design, though, because obviously that's a cityscape in the background.
Yes.
And palm trees and...
somebody reading.
Yes,
and
that's lovely.
And Jean, to whom I'm speaking at the moment, probably doesn't know this, but I bought one of her tea towels with all the books that Will Gorman had painted the spines of.
Oh, yes.
And I've sent it.
Oh, very good.
The shop's run by a brother and sister.
So yes.
I sent them one of your tea towels.
Oh, just very
to
good.
See how much I had enjoyed. I visited the
oh,
shop
that's
twice.
Nice.
And I've got another tote bag here.
Oh.
This one comes from, it's a lovely one. It's coloured. You can describe it.
Yes, Booklore.
Booklore.
And is that?
That's in Canberra.
Oh, right. And is that pronounced? Oh, Lynham.
Lynham,
right.
Which is an area in Canberra.
Yes.
And I was taken there by somebody that we know in the town as Ozzy Kate.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Who has a cottage in Wigton, but also was brought up in Canberra.
Right.
And she still has a home in Canberra. And when I went down there on the bus from Sydney to Canberra, I met Ozzy Kate.
Very good.
For dinner one night, and then the next day we spent the day. She drove me all round Canberra.
Oh, very
so
nice.
It was really interesting. So that was my other bookish thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's really
I think,
all I want to say. It's probably
yes.
more than enough.
Well, but I think when you came in and before, had we this is interesting for listeners, obviously, but had we just done Kukubri, or were we about to do Kukubri Book Festival?
I think we were about to do pop-up shop.
Right. So obviously since then, the three of us did a, largely organised by yourself, did a pop-up shop at the Kukubri Book Festival, which is a small book festival. It's kind of growing, isn't it?
I think that was only its second year.
Yes. And it seemed to feature quite a lot of self-published authors. Mm. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Donna Brewster, House That Sugar Built, was a sellout. And so was Susie Briggs with Yum. That was actually our first event, having launched the picture book in Scots, Yum by Susie Briggs. So, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the shop we had, we were given a room, free, gratis and for nothing, as we say, by Chris and Sue Walker,
who
own the Selkirk Arms, where one or two of the events were being held.
That's right, yes.
So with a lovely warm, I remember commenting when we spoke the last time on how warm it was compared to the shop during the winter. And we had a good few people in. We sold a few books.
Yeah.
Footfall was on the light side.
Uh-huh.
But we knew that when Lou and you and I said we would go and lug our books in the old vans and things.
Yeah.
But it was doing, and I would certainly think about doing it again. And I've arranged, haven't fixed a date yet, but Chris and I are going to have a chat.
Very nice.
See what he says, get some feedback.
Yes.
How we could improve it for next year if we wanted to do it again.
All right. And it was just to kind of say, it was secondhand books we were taking because obviously there is a very lovely bookshop,
Galavidia
books in Kukubri already. So,
I mean, in fairness, I had a few new ones, but new ones that I knew that they didn't stop.
Yes. Yes.
Ranges that publishers that they don't deal with. So.
No. So that's another small book festival in Kukubri earlier in the year. That was March, wasn't it?
March, the second week in March.
Yes. It's all good for the region to have these little
And I've got to say, I mean,
on.
not making a fortune. We never do with second-hand books. I never make a fortune in a bookshop.
Nobody's a bookseller to make money.
No. But I found the town reasonably busy.
Yes.
Good footfall last week and the week before. Mm-hmm. And it's always quite nice. One of my favourite things is when somebody comes to the counter with maybe three or four books and you can't see what the link is.
Uh-huh.
And that's really interesting. I had somebody today, he bought a very nice kind of tool leather, found it was an old complete works of Shakespeare with lovely gilt edges. And he also bought a little book about the sayings of Philip Marlowe.
Oh, really? Chandler. Oh, excellent.
And another book, which of course I've now forgotten, but that was a kind of, I know what it was. It was about notes from the making of Apocalypse Now. And I think now, how does that work?
Yeah.
Raymond Chandler, Shakespeare, and Apocalypse Now.
Eclectic text.
Eclectic, which is, that's the word.
Yeah. It's, yes.
So that's one thing. I think it's the nice things. And also, if you saw my Facebook page last week, I opened a paperback. I got some book deal a fortnight ago.
Right.
And I didn't even look at what was in most of the boxes. I just said I would just take them.
Yes.
But I ended up lots of them, as listeners may not know. We get lots of books that can never be put in the shelves because the quality is just so poor. You wouldn't put them out for resale. So I managed to filter through them, but there's been one or two interesting ones, and one was a Malcolm Lowry, and apart from Under the Volcano, I don't think I knew another of his titles. And when I opened it up, there was a little label saying from the library of Angela Carter.
Oh,
and I
my
know
goodness.
From where the books came,
right,
that would be a genuine, that is the Angela Carter.
Oh, how interesting.
No signature, but just the little.
Oh, very good. That's excellent. Great. Well, thank you, Ruth.
That's all right. Thank you, Jane.
Yes, and we'll get Lou.
We'll meet again, no doubt.
Yes. So what are you going to talk about, Lou?
I just wanted to mention that the new Marcus Observer is out.
Oh, right.
April, May and June.
Okay.
I think this is the last edition Matt Kitson's doing.
All right.
Sure, but he's done a brilliant job as usual. Well done to all the team. I just think this is great. Marcus Observer.
Yes,
our own little newspaper.
Uh-huh.
And there's lots of things to have a little look at. I'm presuming that they will be delivered around the town again, as they have been before.
Mm.
But if you don't get one for some reason, they're in Marcus Action. So
right.
You can just pop in and get one.
Okay.
What I wanted specifically to talk about was that Anne Barclay has put forward the suggestion of a business association for the town.
Yes, yes.
And she's got a little...
Oh, a little article in the paper.
Just a little bit of detail about it.
Mm.
And there's a meeting on Tuesday the 7th of May at 7 p.m. at Cobwebs. So if you're interested as a business coming into the association, not just bookshops, everybody, to set it up and to get a communication going. So that was that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Wigton Market is back.
Yes, that's right. Yes. That started, was it last Saturday?
It was the Saturday before.
Before that.
And then unfortunately last Saturday the weather was atrocious. Fair enough, they didn't set up because the forecast was very, very windy.
Right.
But this week, market is here, but we won't get this out for that. But
no.
They're using Lochencroft Hall instead of the marketplace because the weather's to be bad tomorrow again.
Oh, but that's good that they've now got another venue then in future.
So that's what I was thinking.
If you come on a Saturday and it's not in the market square, it's
pop round to the church hall in Lochencroft.
Very good. Right.
Yeah, that's good.
And I believe they've I think Jill was saying, who's one of the organisers of the market, she was saying at a meeting we were both at the other night that it's fully booked and fully booked for the whole of the season.
Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it?
Which is just fantastic.
It is great.
To have the market back and busy. It certainly adds a lot of atmosphere to the town.
And lots of different things as well.
Yes.
You know, there's plants, there's fruit and veg.
Great fruit and veg store.
Great
fruit yes.
and veg. There's artists and makers. There's the mead man. Sorry, mead man. Don't know what you're called. But the mead is glorious. So extensive range in the market. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
And the other thing is that there's a community conversations meeting next week. Hopefully we'll have the podcast out for this. But if not, we do one every month.
Mm-hmm.
And Barclay set it up. And it's a meeting for everyone in the community, whether they're a business or a resident or, you know, to come along.
Passing through.
Possibly not.
Maybe not.
You know, anyone who's got any concerns or wants to tell people about something that they're doing, it's not a rigid association meeting.
So
anybody can come along. There's no membership or anything like that. We just have a chat about what's happening.
Very good.
Basically.
Great.
Yeah. So it's a really good, and did I say that? Anne Barclay set it up.
Yeah.
It's a really good thing to be a part of. And the next meeting is the 17th.
Yes.
Of April, which is next Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Lee is hosting it,
that's
I believe.
Right. Lee Randall.
Yes. Who will be doing a podcast interview with us before the meeting.
Ah. Oh, right. Brilliant. Okay.
Yes. I didn't know that. Oh, I've been meaning to say. I do apologise.
Okay. No,
you just
that's
reminded
good.
Me that.
So Lee's going to be, I think the meeting's at 7 and Lee's going to be there from 6. Is that right?
I don't know. But yes.
We're not very good at this.
No, we're not.
No. Yeah. Anyway, yes.
Great.
So, yes. Pop in and get a copy of your Marcus Observer and go to all the meetings that you can possibly find in Wigton. This is what I'm here to say.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Lou. And thank you again if you've been listening and if you've listened through to the end. Well done.
Well done.
And yes, we will be back with more regular podcasts. We just had a little bit of a technical problem last time. Otherwise, you would have had one in between. But anyway, join us again next time.
Next time. Bye.
Bye.